We'll proceed to the fourth case of the morning, number 01-2473, United States against Solano. May it please the court, Charles Lauer of Lauer and Sorensen on behalf of defendant appellant Bernardo Solano. In this case, there was drugs recovered from an apartment in Cicero. Those drugs belonged to a major drug dealer. The defendant Bernardo Solano was arrested and charged with those drugs in state court. That drug dealer supplied money to bond out Mr. Solano. The attorney representing Mr. Solano in that state case became actively involved in acquiring and providing the money for the bond. He received bundles of money of cash, $500,000 in cash, and converted that money into a check which was posted for Mr. Solano's bond.
Wasn't it in his counsel's interest to obtain an acquittal for him so that he could retain the money, though?
Yes.
So in what ways were the interests of Bernardo's counsel divergent from Bernardo's interests?
His interests were divergent because that act of obtaining the money and providing it for bond was a violation of Illinois law for an attorney to become involved in the posting of the bond. It was also clearly that money was drug money, the way it was brought in cash. And by converting drug money into a legitimate purpose of posting bond, the attorney himself has now become in what would be money laundering. And at that point, the attorney has an interest in not divulging where that money came from. And what is the underlying fact that goes out throughout this case?
What evidence is there that he knew that was drug money?
Judge, I believe that the court found that the money was clearly drug money in the jury finding, and I think by common sense, they knew how the money was brought in, and that would alert an attorney to know that that money was drug money.
Well, but could you give us an example of a choice that the defense counsel made that would advance his own interest to the detriment of Bernardo's?
I believe at some point in the case, Judge, subsequent to this posting of the money, defendant was then charged in federal court with a conspiracy which encompassed the money in that house and also a sale by his brother Alicio Solano of marijuana. At that point, I believe good practice would be that if Bernardo Solano knew about the source of that money, if there was another bigger drug dealer out there for Bernardo Solano, that Bernardo Solano had information, that would be valuable for Mr. Solano to proffer and to tell the truth about what happened in this case. And at that point, the attorney has an interest in not divulging where that money came from. That at some point, a scheme was developed to say that the money came from family members. And I think it is interesting that when Mr. Solano is arrested on the federal case, he makes a statement. And the statement is that the money came from a drug dealer and that the drug dealer had more money to post. Afterwards, a scheme is then presented in federal court that the money came from family members. and it is the attorney who is putting on that testimony about the money coming from family members. And at that
when point, was that testimony given?
That testimony was given, I believe, and you have to understand I was not the trial attorney. These were some complicated events. I believe that there was a forfeiture allegation in the federal charges. And after the defendants were found guilty, there was a further trial to determine if the money was drug money or illegal money.
Is there any evidence to show that the district court was aware of the fact this bail money was drug money during the trial itself?
I don't believe during the
trial. The question of guilt or innocence.
I don't think during the trial itself that they were aware where the drug money came from, Judge. I think during the trial about the forfeiture allegations, it was subsequent to the guilt or innocence phase, that there was testimony about the nature of that money in that it was brought into the bank, took hours to count, was brought in bundles and small denominations.
Mr. Bauer, there's something that I think is quite important here. In order to properly consider the ineffectiveness allegations that you have raised, wouldn't an evidentiary hearing be necessary to determine whether witnesses who could have been called during the trial were not used because they had information regarding the bond money? In other words, what I'm wondering is whether you want to proceed now or reserve the ineffectiveness issue for a 2255.
Well, Judge, we wanted to preserve the ineffectiveness for a 2255 as to not calling the witnesses that were later called in a state case. We originally filed that motion, but we ran into a barrier, and the barrier was is that we needed to contact those witnesses to establish that they were ready to testify in the federal case,
okay,
but they were never called by the attorney.
Okay, then my question is, do you want to reserve this issue for 2255?
We wanted to reserve the issue of ineffective assistance of counsel for not calling the witnesses. However, we ran into another barrier. We tried to get immunity for Mr. Solano to testify about the nature of the bond money at that ineffective assistance counsel hearing, and we were not able to establish that with the government. Therefore, Mr. Solano was in the position, and if you notice in his objections in the pre-sentence report, we refrained from objecting to the obstruction of justice, in that obviously Mr. Solano, in providing names, it was involved in the obstruction of justice as to what was going on here. But for him to then testify against his attorney and find out what happened, he would then be exposed to money laundering charges himself. And we're in the bind of not being able to present evidence on that issue.
So what's the bottom line? Are you going to reserve the issue for
We are going to reserve the issue as to not calling witnesses in the
You can't reserve one issue for 2255. I mean, you've got to reserve the whole thing or...
Judge, I don't know if we would reserve the issue if we could develop through affidavits that there was ineffective assistance of counsel based on another theory. We would try and raise that in a 2255. At this point, we can't raise that because only Bernardo Solano could testify, and he would be exposing himself during that hearing.
Your time has expired, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. We'll hear now from Mr. Holsinger.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm Clark Holsinger. I represent Alicio Solano, who in this time is stuck in a situation where blood is really not a good thing in this case. He's wrapped up into a Cicero case and a marijuana case that came out of the Hammond district. So Mr. Bernardo Solano gets arrested in Cicero. This $500,000 gets taken in. The cocaine arrest is out there, and the officer Feeney, who executed the warrant, testified absolutely no involvement, to his knowledge, of Alicio in that Cicero house. We then have later a marijuana arrest in Lake County, which Alicio was at the scene when they were taken in, and that's the evidence.
So what evidence is there connecting your client with the cocaine?
Your Honor, there is not evidence of connecting him with the cocaine other than he is related to Bernardo Salon.
And what evidence is there of a conspiracy between these two people, in your view?
In my view, Your Honor, as to the cocaine, there is not a conspiracy between any evidence.
There was some kind of meeting between the two brothers and the CI, am I right?
There was a meeting, Your Honor, between...
The briefs are very sketchy about what went on at that meeting. What does the record show went on at that meeting?
At that meeting, Your Honor, there was discussion of apparently a debt. The officer's agent, Zamora, testified. And the videotape seemed to indicate that there's a payment of a debt. The debt that which is supposedly related to some past drug buys. There is also...
payment from whom to whom?
From the confidential informant to Bernardo Solano. And Elicio Solano was present on the video and the audio tape.
Did he receive any money?
Did they receive any money?
Did Elicio receive any money?
There is no evidence that Elicio Solano received any money, Your Honor. The evidence also indicates that, you know, this all took place with Barbara Doan, and that was all in relation to marijuana, and not to as any cocaine, nor is there a relation back to this alleged drug debt that's talked about to the Cicero house, which Bernardo is eventually found guilty on all but one, not guilty on all but one count.
Now, the indictment did not allege conspiracy to distribute marijuana or cocaine. It alleged an indictment to distribute marijuana and cocaine.
That is correct.
Didn't the jury necessarily have to find a conspiracy involving both of those drugs in order to convict on that count?
Actually, Your Honor, I believe the correct is that they could have determined that it was the cocaine that was the controlled substance to complete the conspiracy, or the marijuana, or both.
How was the jury instructed?
The jury was instructed, in fact, at three points in the transcript, Your Honor. In 420, they were instructed that the government alleges defendants Bernardo and Elicio Solano from on or about at least February 1998 arranged meetings and utilized the telephone and automobiles to conspire to distribute marijuana and cocaine from Illinois to Indiana. That's on 420 of the transcript. The court then goes on to say that 841, it further went on to talk about 841, mm-hmm. but then explained that 841 was the unlawful, it shall be unlawful for any person knowingly or intentionally to manufacture, distribute, or dispense, or possess with the intent to manufacture, distribute, or dispense a controlled substance. That was under the jury charge 429.
And that was what page?
429, Your Honor, pages 428 and 429. Then goes to explain that controlled substance is cocaine and marijuana, and that's on page 433 of the transcript, and then says the indictment charges that this offense were committed on or about July 1st, 1998. And that's also on page 433 of the transcript. That is the marijuana time. That is when the arrest for Elicio with the 50 pounds of marijuana took place in July.
But the jury was never instructed in the disjunctive then at all. The judge never told them they could find the conspiracy if they found marijuana or if they found cocaine.
No, Your Honor. Came down, it was and. That's correct.
Well, then my colleague's question is, didn't they necessarily find that there was a conspiracy and the conspiracy did in fact involve both of those controlled substances?
And to that, Your Honor, I think that it's not necessarily that they did either. I think the problem we have here is that you have a cocaine arrest, which they could have used, a marijuana arrest that they could have used. You have Bernardo and Elicio, one with the cocaine, one with the marijuana, which really gets into the confusion about how this all applies to them. And if you just come down and make a decision as to the marijuana, then we've got a different sentencing range. And because the only marijuana here totals up well less than the 50 kilograms that gets you into the lower five-year maximum of the sentencing range. And I think that if when Judge Lozano applied the 235 months to our client, he did decide that there was cocaine and marijuana in the decision, and he applied it all. But the fact that the jury never came out and made a determination as to whether it was cocaine or marijuana or both gives us a fact where the jury, which should have had, I believe under Apprendi, the right to decide whether or not what the drug types were and the drug quantities were and how the enhancement should apply. Thank you.
We'll hear now from Mr. Butler.
Good morning. May it please the court. First, as it relates to the issues presented by Bernardo Solano's counsel, this was not a unilateral situation commandeered by Bernardo Solano's counsel. Bernardo Solano's counsel and Bernardo Solano both had a common goal throughout this entire prosecution. That common goal was to prevent the forfeiture of that $500,000 from the government. By preventing the forfeiture of that $500,000, it affected acquittal by one stating that the $500,000 was not in fact drug proceeds. Bernardo Solano presumably would obtain a portion of that $500,000 if it was not forfeited. Also, so would his trial counsel. In fact, his trial counsel stated, and I've cited this in my brief, during his opening statement during the bifurcated jury proceeding. The bifurcated jury proceeding took place on March 22nd of 1999, after the trial. In his opening statement, as I set out in my brief, he stated $500,000 should be given back to Bernardo Solano because, number one, those were not proceeds of drug activity. Number two, that money was given by family members. It was provided by family members. And number three, therefore, since it was provided by family members and relatives, they're entitled to get that money back. That is what he said during his opening statement. Now, if we
In other words, you're saying there is enough evidence in the record to hold as a matter of law that Bernardo Solano directed his attorney in taking the actions regarding the bond money.
Yes, Your Honor.
And that he was aware that his attorney potentially had a conflict of interest.
Yes.
Could impact his trial, but he agreed to proceed with that attorney?
Well, I don't believe his lawyer had a conflict. Well, Bernardo Solano had a conflict of interest. Bernardo Solano's interest was, number one, being acquitted, and number two, getting the money back. And everything that his trial counsel did, whether according to the brief submitted by defense counsel, characterizing his activity as potentially criminal, whether it was potentially criminal or not, it was advanced for the purpose of effecting an acquittal for Bernardo Solano.
Well, and is there any reasonable explanation for Bernardo's counsel's failure to call any witnesses when those witnesses were clearly available to the state case only 4 months later?
Well, Your Honor, I think our brief indicates why. For example, during the bifurcated proceeding, the defense assembled 23 people who were present in court, and those people were going to purportedly testify to the fact that they had provided these bond funds for Bernardo Solano. Four of those individuals testified. However, after four of those individuals testified and they were cross-examined, defense counsel elected, after an in-chambers discussion with the district court, he elected not to present those other witnesses. Those witnesses who were available in court had no verification through any bank documentation, through any loan documents, through any paper trail whatsoever, to indicate to the court that these bond funds had been documented. In fact, out of 23 people, not one of those individuals submitted a claim to, in fact, exonerate their rights or to, in fact, adjudicate their interest in the $500,000. Commonsensically, no one gives $500,000 undocumented in cash to a defendant and then is incapable of being located. In fact, in the record, we have dates going from after the special forfeiture verdict on March 22nd of 1999, where the jury, after hearing four of these individuals testify, prior to hearing those four individuals testify, two bank employees testified to the fact that throughout their experience, they had never experienced a transaction of this sort, where brought into the bank, there were two individuals carrying a suitcase and duffel bag. That suitcase and those duffel bags were filled with money. And it took four bank employees approximately 4 hours to count that money, and those four employees, it took them approximately 3 hours to separate it according to denomination. They were approximately $300 short of the $500,000 total when trial counsel for Bernardo Solano directed one of the individuals to go back out to a van and procure the remaining $300. After that was done, they came back in, and that was presented. Now, what's important is that in the state case, which occurred through a state arrest independent of any federal activity, Bernardo Solano was arrested February 20th of 1998. The bond was posted 2 months later, April 17th of 1998. On June 25th of 1998, while Bernardo Solano is out on state bond, he comes into a sting, basically, where the federal government is not aware of him. In fact, the informant Barbara Doan talks about meeting with some individuals that she owes money to. And in answer to your earlier question, money did exchange hands through a DEA control buy where Agent Zamora, a DEA task force agent, is introduced to Barbara Doan's drug supply. That introduction occurs, and Agent Zamora is introduced to the individuals who are supplying his cooperative source. Those two individuals who appear on the videotape, which cannot be disputed, are Bernardo Solano and Eliseo Solano. Right. So they both appear.
And tell me, how does this screw up the conspiracy? Both are on the videotape, but you've got to show an agreement to distribute these two drugs.
During the videotape, and Agent Zamora testified to this and explained this at trial, the videotape was shown to the jury, to the jurors. Bernardo Solano and Eliseo Solano both talk about the $500,000 that was posted in the state court trial. The transcript of these proceedings were also, the transcript of the videotape was also provided to the jury. Bernardo Solano also talked about and stated in the video that it would have been so easy to kill his prior lawyer because he was dissatisfied because his prior lawyer, attorney Aronson, would not take the $500,000 to the jail. From that point, they discussed a future transaction. That future transaction was going to involve a conspiracy to distribute marijuana. That conspiracy was going to involve Bernardo Solano, Eliseo Solano, Barbara Doan, and Barbara Doan, who was going to introduce them to Agent Zamora. Agent Zamora was posing as her boyfriend.
They were discussing a future conspiracy to distribute marijuana.
In addition to accepting payment for past drug debts involving money that Barbara Doan had owed the Solanos from their drug activity.
From both Solanos or Bernardo?
Both. They both engaged in the conversation.
But who took the money?
I'm not sure which one took the money. My recollection, both were present. She handed the money over to, I believe, Bernardo Solano. Eliseo was present, but what shows further existence.
The weak link in your case is linking LSAO to this conspiracy. Frankly, that's got a lot of problems with your case right there. If you can't prove that up, you've got a lot of problems with the sentence, too.
Well, what proves that up is that LSAO, Bernardo, they discussed this future transaction and what they should charge this guy. And that's the guy being that they refer to as Agent Moore. They talk about, well, how much should we charge him for Green? Green being the marijuana. Agent Moore testifies, explains at the trial. They talk about, at one point, Bernardo Solano says, stick him up. Charge him, rob him. Not robbing him, but robbing him in terms of the price. Mm-hmm. On July 1st of 1998, the scheduled transaction, which is talked about on June 25th of 1998, culminates where Eliseo Solano, after discussions take place, is videotaped or photographed loading 50 pounds of marijuana in a trunk along with the informant. They drive to a location where they meet Agent Moore pursuant to the discussions that they had on that June 25th, 1998 videotape. That arrest culminates on July 1 of 1998.
And Agent Moore, was he at the meeting?
Yes. Agent Moore was introduced to the Solano brothers. He had to have someone vouch for him. Mm-hmm. And the reason this vouching took place, and this is looking at the totality of circumstances, is on the videotape where Barbara Doan basically vouches for him as being a drug dealer and also being her boyfriend. Uh-huh. So they meet during this June 25th, 1998 videotape where they make all these discussions and then the deal is culminated. But they also talk on that June 25th, 1998 about past activity. In fact,
The briefs are very sketchy on this, and gee, we sat and scratched our heads trying to figure this out.
Your Honor, with regard to that, we had in fact cited the court's finding in the sentencing by Judge Lozano on page 33, where Judge Lozano ruled, counsel, I have taken the opportunity to review my trial notes, review the testimony given during trial and the hearings.
Yes.
Review the arguments of counsel and the evidence presented during trial, and I have considered the credibility of the witnesses. The court finds that the offense conduct section of the pre-sentence investigation report of Bernardo Solano was accurate. The court further finds, with regard to drugs attributable to the defendants Bernardo Solano and Eliseo Solano, finds that the conspiracy in question set out in the indictment is from at least 1995 until July 1 of 1998, that both Bernardo and Eliseo Solano were members of the conspiracy, that the conspiracy was to distribute drugs, namely cocaine and marijuana, that a search warrant was executed on February 20th of 1998.
That's conclusory, though, and what I need to know is what's the beef? You know, where's the beef? Where are the facts to substantiate
the
that?
The beef is that he, in fact, and I'll skip down to the bottom of page 33, where Judge Lozano specifically stated that on July 25th, 1998, DEA recorded video and audio tape of Bernardo and Eliseo Solano and an informant, and during those tapes, conversations were had regarding resolution of previous drug debts, that audio and video tapes of Eliseo and Bernardo Solano were also shown to discuss past drug debts. A scheduled drug deal with Officer Zamora, who was working undercover for 50 pounds of marijuana, which culminated on July 1 of 1998. And discussions were also had regarding the $500,000 bond, which was posted on a state court action as a result of the February 20th incident spoken of before, that Bernardo Solano admitted to Officer Zamora that the $500,000 bond was posted by his drug fund.
It all hinges on that taped conversation and whether or not that conversation shows an agreement.
Well,
that's really the guts of the case, right?
That's part of it, but the district court listened to more than just the videotape and the transcript. He also listened to the testimony of Officer Feeney of the Chicago Police Department. All of this is taken not in isolation, but...
What did Officer Feeney have to contribute?
Officer Feeney talked about the fact that he obtained these narcotics from this residence. Bernardo Solano admitted that this was his residence. There was also paperwork in that residence outlining the fact that he had maintained that residence. There were 14 approximately kilograms.
Well, what about his brother?
That is his... I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
During the videotape of June 25th of 1998, the brother was present and discussed this ongoing transaction along with the past drug activity. And Agent Zamora explained that Judge Lozano looked at the videotape, the same videotape and transcript that were presented to the district court jury, but to pick out certain parts, looking at it in the totality of circumstances, it all links together.
The past was about the cocaine, is what you're arguing.
I'm sorry?
The discussions about the past transactions regarded the cocaine, is what you're arguing.
Well, yes, they were paying, the DEA did a controlled, I don't want to say buy, but a controlled payment of approximately $200 to $2,500. And that was the amount that they provided to Barbara Doan. Barbara Doan, on videotape, took that amount, and she paid them, and they had discussions about past drug activity.
But
and
do we know what?
And that was about cocaine?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that clear on the tape? Is that what that was?
No, it's not clear on the tape. But in totality of all the circumstances that the jury heard, it was clear.
What's the best evidence that Alicia was involved in cocaine?
His discussion of the 500, his discussion with Barbara Doan about past involvement, and coupled with the fact that they talked about the future involvement, and that was one of the reasons why Agent Zamora was able to meet with them, because she vouched for him, and not only did they meet, but the discussions they had about a future a marijuana deal, it was culminating.
But is Barbara involved in cocaine and marijuana, or cocaine only, or marijuana only?
Cocaine, marijuana, methamphetamine. In fact, the defense attorneys at trial cross-examined Agent Zamora vociferously about the fact that your confidential source is very much involved in drug activity. And Agent Zamora corroborated that and said, yes, well, those are the only people who will allow us to make, or that we can use to make introductions to high-level drug use.
And you're arguing that the only thing she could have been paying for was the cocaine, or the cocaine and the marijuana?
Cocaine.
Okay.
But can I point to something specifically on the tape that says that?
Yes.
No,
oh.
I cannot. Can I point to something that says specifically cocaine or the term marijuana? Discussions I've done that way. But the totality and the corroborative...
Did she testify?
No, she did not.
Did the agents had dealings with her, though, did they not?
Yes.
The agents testified?
Yes.
Did they mention that they had dealt with her, or that they knew she was involved in cocaine?
Oh, yeah. In fact, the defense attorneys cross-examined Agent Zamora vigorously about her involvement in a means to basically say that, well, this person that you're using is unreliable because, in fact, she's a drug dealer. But Agent Zamora's response was, that's why we videotaped. As it relates to this ongoing ineffective assistance claim, for it to be an ineffective assistance claim, the defense trial counsel would have had to have done this unilaterally. And our brief indicates numerous times how trial counsel, in fact, made misrepresentations to the district court as it relates to the status of the district of the state court case. In fact, we put transcript excerpts showing that trial counsel stated that Bernardo Solano was acquitted when, in fact, he was found guilty and sentenced to 8 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. At no time did any of the 23 people ever appear and attempt to make a claim or present any documentation as it relates to that claim. In fact, by acquitting or by reversing Solano's convictions, what they are basically asking this district court to do is admit it, this appellate court, admittedly appellate counsel for Solano admits that the activity engaged in by trial counsel was potentially criminal. If that is correct, then Bernardo Solano has engaged in and acquiesced to criminal activity, and now that it is proven to be unsuccessful, he's basically attempting to obtain absolution from this court. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Butler. How much time is remaining?
30 seconds.
Well, we'll make that a clear minute, sir.
Your Honor, if I may just summarize one thing for all these justices, is that Bernardo Solano, what he should have been doing in this case is going in and proffering with the government and telling him what went on with those drugs that were found in the apartment. Given that, I believe he could have led to another prosecution of another individual, which would have helped Bernardo Solano in this case. Instead, his attorney was not open to that because the attorney had an interest in not divulging how he helped get that illegal money to Bernardo Solano for bond. And that's the barrier that the attorney had in this case, which was a disservice. The criminal justice system only works when the attorneys do their proper role. And this attorney did not engage in his proper role here, and it resulted in Bernardo Solano receiving a 17-year sentence and the attorney walking off with a lot of money in his pocket, and no other individuals were prosecuted, which I believe a proffer by Bernardo Solano could have done. That is the barrier. That is the thing that is most egregious about the attorney's conduct here. He had an interest in the bond money, and he was not had an interest in not having Bernardo Solano come forward with the truth.
I think, sir, we do have the point, and your time has expired.
Thank you.
Thank you. Does Mr. Holsinger have any time left? Sir, I'll give you 30 seconds if you have something you'd like to add to this.
Thank you. Just quickly, I think the key is that the government admitted was that when they were in that videotape, they were talking green, they were talking marijuana, they were not talking about the cocaine, and that's not on that videotape. There is a mention that the $500,000 was mentioned at the on the videotape, but there is no mention about cocaine buys on that videotape between Barbara and the Alicia Solano or Bernardo Solano. I think that's a very important part of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Holsinger, you serve by appointment of the court. You have the deep thanks of the court for taking on the assignment and doing such a fine job for your client. Indeed, our thanks to all counsel today for their fine submissions and oral arguments. The case will be taken under advisement. The court